Throughout the years, lots of people ask me about Christmas trees. Which is better, fake or real? My conclusion? If your holiday traditions include decorating Christmas tree, I encourage you to only use a live tree. Live Christmas trees are the environmentally sound choice from where I sit. While they grow, they produce oxygen and draw down carbon, they provide shelter for wildlife, and they are a true renewable resource as seedlings are planted to replace those trees that are harvested and they can be recycled. How, might you ask? We are here today to learn more about recycling Christmas trees in the desert, which is why you won't want to miss a single minute of our show today. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. With me is not only a return guest, but also someone who has been a trusted resource for Mrs. Green's World for about 10 years. For any number of things, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome my friend and fellow environmentalist, Christina Palsgrove. She is the public information officer for the City of Tucson Department of Environmental Services. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
We always have fun when you're in studio. We always allow a couple of, you know, hours after the podcast so we can sit and solve all the world problems. So it's a pleasure every year. And I love this show. And you know why? Because it's about good news. It's about one thing people can do to make a difference this holiday season that's great for them and for this planet of ours. So let's start with this. This kind of blew me away a little bit, even though it might have come up last year. 24 years of recycling Christmas trees back to earth here in Tucson?
Yes.
That's like 2.5 decades.
It is. It's just a tradition. It really needs very little outreach because people expect it every year. They know it's going to happen and they show up as early as the day after Christmas.
People are grinching their trees. I mean, we've done it because it gets so dry, depending upon how early. You don't want them in your house.
Right.
So happy 24-year anniversary. We'll have to think of something special for the 25th next year. We'll really do. It's going to be a big year. So I want everybody to get details. And then I want to talk a little bit about your thoughts on live versus artificial, if you care to share them. So give us details.
So the tree cycle program starts the day after Christmas, December 26th, and runs through January 12th. And hopefully that's enough time for people to drop off. We've got 7 different locations. We partner with City of Tucson Parks and Recreation, Tanks Green Stuff, and the town of Oro Valley. So we have 7 locations that are at Tanks 2 sites in Tucson, at Naranja Town Hall for Oro Valley, and then, you know, at different parks throughout the Tucson area.
So actually, Tank, who our friend Jason Tangersley, who I also adore, he's one of his sites, you can take the trees there?
Yes.
Okay, and then what the other partners for Parks and Rec and the town of Oro Valley, what role do they play? They have sites?
The town of Oro Valley has their site for residents who are in the Northwest. And Parks and Recreation, we're at Randolph Park at the golf course.
Very central.
We are at...
you don't have to remember all the sites because people who listen to this are usually driving or they're doing something else while they're listening. And the links are going to be on the show page so people can find them. And we're certainly going to give your website. But even that, we'll put that in the show notes. Kelly is so good about letting people know where to go when we've talked about things on the show. So how does it work? People really can't put their trees right next to their garbage can. We think we really have to say that. It has to be delivered.
They can't. We run automated trucks for trash and recycling collection, and they just can't grab those trees and, you know, they can't stop to manually lift them. It would be very hard because it has to go all the way over the top of the
Logistically, we never talked about this. Logistically, they can't pick them up. They can't scoop them up in their garbage scooper. It makes sense. And it would take up so much space from what they normally do.
And they likely would get recycled.
they likely would not get recycled. So for the maybe obstinate or resistant or doubtful listener, why should they recycle? And I know you have a high success rate, but we wanted to have 100% success rate. Let's always shoot for that. Why do it?
Well, we mulch the trees. We chip them, and then we have mulch available, the chips available to anybody who wants to go out to Los Reales Landfill and pick them up. They're great for putting them around your plants in your yard because they help the soil retain moisture, which is really important
in our environment. I mean, every day, more and more, my friend. I know. And who isn't talking about the fires in California every day for the past several months? The beat goes on. So did you actually mention, and I was listening, it's called Mary Mulch, which I think makes it even more fun.
We have Mary Mulch, and that will be available generally the first week after Christmas, because they need a little time to get those trees together and then get them chipped up. But we do have a lot of people that come and take the Mary Mulch, and they do use it in their gardens, and it's just great. It smells wonderful out there, and it's free.
And all they have to do is bring their own containers.
Yes.
Right. And where is the Mary Mulch?
It's going to be at Los Reales Landfill, 5300 East Los Reales Road, which is the entrance is right at the intersection of Craycroft and Los Reales, which is just south of I-10.
Okay. I know it well. Okay. So we have Mary Mulch. And then I can't imagine that people need this, but you never know. What are some friendly reminders about the shape the trees have to be in before they are dropped off? Don't just plop your Christmas tree out there.
Well, remove the Christmas lights.
Right, number one.
Remove the stand.
Number two.
And any ornaments, of course. And I would think most people would want to hold on to their ornaments. I know that mine are all very special to me.
I know. It's kind of fun when you, like, every year, we're going to be here for this Christmas, which is exciting to me because we have a new grandbaby and they're coming from Taos, and my daughter wanted to have a Christmas here, and my other daughters come in with my grandkids, so it's going to be special. And when I open those ornaments every year, the smiles on our
faces.
Oh my God, the kids made things when they were three. And who doesn't keep those things that were my mom and dad? So it is special. So most people would not consider throwing them out. But there are some people that go and buy a couple of boxes at, you know, Target. And people take the darn ornaments off and the tree lights
those
and the stand.
Those are not recyclable,
no.
But they are reusable.
They are reusable. And every year, man, I can't wait to get that started. What about... Do you want to talk a little bit? I was thinking about this, some things that we haven't talked about. And I know we're a big beat back buffalo grass community, which is such a threat, and it's dry here. Is it accurate to say that if you're putting your Christmas tree out in your alley, you're increasing the fire danger for your neighborhood? It's dry out here.
Absolutely, you are. We usually see fires from Christmas trees every year. And you don't really want to keep that back there because there's so many things, so many ways that it could set a fire off, and you just don't want that near your home.
Not only your house, but your neighbor's house. I mean, in the way that things are right now, people should certainly be fire aware. And I was also thinking about this. I got a little sentimental because you and I have done this show for a bit, and I always get excited about it. But one of the things is we have so much fun going to pick out our Christmas tree. Our family does. Most families. It's an adventure. People don't go and send somebody to go buy their Christmas tree. And getting rid of our Christmas tree is something I don't want anything to do with. It's like, okay, we have the natural order of things in our family, and I do not want to take lights off. I don't want to take the ornaments off. I love putting them on. Love all that fun, but it's really a whole different story. What I'm going to do is change my thinking and say, well, you know what? It's for the good of the planet and the good of your neighbors and the good of your own house. So just get on board and make sure you make it happen. You talked about it a little bit, but is there really a high participation rate? Do you have any sense for what that is?
I think there is a high participation rate. And, you know, when I first started working with Tucson and this program, we saw the numbers kind of dwindling down, and I think that was a lot of people looking and seeing that artificial trees were looking more real, but they had also gone down considerably in price. And Christmas trees, real Christmas trees had gone way up.
Pricey.
But then you have some of the bigger businesses that have the trees, Costco, Home Depot, they've all gotten in that. And we've seen the numbers go back up in terms of what we're collecting, because I think people have a little bit more access to the
affordable
real trees.
Yes. And you know what? Think about the smell.
That's
talk about nostalgia and the good feeling you get when you open your door and it smells like a Christmas tree. I mean, it's a pine tree, but some kind of tree, but it's very different.
Smells like Christmas.
Like Christmas, makes you feel good. We do this thing where we start, as soon as it gets cool enough, which in this case, this year might not happen at all, but we do this little potpourri with cinnamon sticks and bay leaves and all that, so that the house smells like that. And it's all part of that whole holiday spirit. And I love it.
I would do something similar at my house. And one time, one year, my son asked me, why does the house always smell like this at Christmas? He didn't know
He put cloves in it and orange peels and I think cinnamon and thyme. And it's a really non-artificial, non-chemical way to make your house smell good. When I go into people's homes lately, kiddo, I'm telling you, when you upgrade your smeller and you don't have artificial scents in the house, it starts me sneezing. And don't use those artificial air fresheners. It's chemicals being pumped into the air and into your lungs.
Right.
But I digress. But we were talking about why you can make these potpourris that smell just as great. What are your thoughts on real versus artificial? Because there are arguments to be made both ways, and I do get that.
I actually have an artificial tree.
So you don't feel judged by me, right?
I don't.
Thank goodness, because I don't mean that at all. It's easier.
As I've gotten older, I just wanted that ease of having the lights already on it so I can focus on the ornaments. And to be honest, I've had that tree for probably 15 years.
There's a real upside to that. And my friend Molly, who has a beautiful artificial tree, she keeps it up a really long time. I like that part too. I'm not kidding when I say if we get it like 2 weeks before Christmas, it's dry. It's a dry heat. Mm-hmm. And we can't wait to get rid of it because the needles start falling no matter how you spray it or water it or whatever. I mean, I can see the advantages. But from a strictly environmental point of view, I don't know all of the science, but I know that it's a really fun thing for us to do. But I'm smiling because there'll probably be a time when it's like it's a big pain in the neck and putting a stand on and all of those things. I get it.
You know, and again, you know, we always talk about recycling and reuse, and those are the things to consider. You know, if you're buying an artificial tree every year and throwing
that's
it
really
away,
bad.
That's very wasteful. But again, I've
you're
had
keeping
mine
one
probably
and
for 15.
They really hold it together because it's not like heavy use. You open them up and they're sitting
right
there in the room to bring you joy. And then you do the secret potpourri that your son says, why does it smell like this at Christmas? Now he's going to know if he listens to the podcast.
And I get the pine smell. I buy the wreaths, you know.
I know. I love to do that too. I went through a spell where I was making wreaths. I can't believe that I was ever that crafty, but I have pictures to prove that I did. Now I don't have time. I don't know if you want to talk about this. I never put you on the spot, but since I have you here, it's great to know what's happening with recycling. It's been a very topical issue in our city. I asked you before we got on the air about the innovation that's going on in the industry, and you said Tucson is at the front of the innovation. So can we talk about that for just a little bit?
Sure. As of September 30th, in the city limits, we started collecting recycling every other week. As you know, the markets have declined tremendously. Instead of earning revenue from the sale of recyclables. We're paying for them. For the processing, it's gone up. And what we found is that most of the bins we collect each week were only about a half full. And so going to every other week allowed us to find a way to collect the same amount of material, but in a much more environmentally and economically beneficial way. Because, and I say environmental because that's, we were able to cut 30 routes. That's 30 routes where we're not having a truck out burning fuel, putting wear and tear on the streets, and we are collecting the same amount. The first week we collected, and people had only gone a week without service, so we collected half what we normally would have. And then the next week where people had gone for 2 weeks, we collected the same amount that we would have in a normal weekly.
Got it.
Doing
Got
the whole
it.
City. So our hypothesis about collecting the same amount of material is holding true.
That's great. That's really great. What about, is there anything that is of value that's being bought, or is it all now you're having to pay to get it out? Like, is cardboard valuable? Are aluminum cans?
Aluminum cans are still probably the most valuable. Aluminum
okay.
and tin cans. But they only make up about 1% of what we collect.
Aluminum cans are so light. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, just think about it. They're so light. They weigh nothing. Okay, they make about how much? 1/10?
1%
of
what we collect.
That's really kind of sad. So the things
and
like plastic bottles, which I'm sure you collect a lot more of, are worthless.
No, they're not.
No?
PET is actually one of those products that has a very strong domestic market. And so we want those. That's great.
Good.
What we get a lot of, I'd say, you know, if you looked at what we collect, a third of it is paper, which right now it's costing us because when people contaminate their recycling with food or other unpleasant things, it ruins the paper. It's not
yeah.
usable anymore. And that's what recycling is about. It's being able to take something and make something else out of it. And so if you have grease or dog waste or any of those, you know, those are things that are going to get on that paper and it's just ruined. The glass represents a big portion of what we collect. And while it is reusable, it's not tremendously marketable. And then, you know, we've been talking about this for years. Our contamination rate is about 30%. So 30% of what people are putting in is just garbage.
It's just really sad to take such a little effort to do it right. And your website is so helpful and so informative. And it's just, it makes me, you know, crazy a little bit. The other thing that when you and I have this conversation, I always remember to just bring up again, to get us out of the mess we're in, the first R is reduce. And as citizens of the planet, I've been doing a lot of reading and some writing that's going to come out in the newsletters about what climate change is really about. And it's not an environmental issue, it's a people issue. It impacts people's health. It impacts the health of a community. It impacts our lives. And I'm trying to talk about it more like that because it impacts peace. I mean, it's a very different conversation that I'm starting to have with people. It's not something like out there that you're doing to change that. It's improving the quality of your life. And, you know, one of our favorite things to do, which I think is weird, I don't mind sharing it at all, one of our favorite things to do as a family is to go to secondhand stores and just find hidden treasures. We don't need anything, but we buy a lot of our clothes in secondhand stores and proudly share that. I can't believe the good stuff that we find there. And it's like the first R is reduce, and it's just new habits.
Mm-hmm.
It's just new habits.
Well, this might be a good time to mention that we're in the process of planning an event in January.
Do tell.
We're calling it a swap and shop. It'll be kind of a big swap meet yard sale.
I love it.
Where people can bring things and things that are not, that you know, maybe they would do a yard sale, but they don't really want to do that. They can
because
bring their
stuff. Because it's a big pain in the neck.
And then when we're done, the things that aren't taken can be donated to someplace.
I love it. So what's the date?
January 25th.
January 25th. And we will share it as an event on our page. When I say that, I have a wonderful team of people that listen to the show, and we'll keep it in mind for us.
That'd be great.
It'll really be fun. Maybe I can do a little video down there, because doing a yard sale is a big pain in the neck.
It is.
It's a lot of work, and I'd rather just take my stuff somewhere.
Set it up on a table and...
And are people going to... sell their stuff?
They can.
So they can, yes. If they want, or they can just, mm-hmm. I would be happy to just.
We're going to have free cycles there, I hope.
Yeah.
We're just in the planning stages. So, you know, there will be an area for people to just leave things and hopefully people will take them. You know, it's most of the things we have, someone else could use.
Yes. It's just, what is that? One man's trash, another man's treasure. Mm-hmm. It is so true. When I was at Goodwill the other day down in Green Valley, I'm thinking, I don't need this, but I want it, and I'm going to get it. And somebody got rid of it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's fun to shop like that and spend, you know, $2. I also think we should give kudos to you because you were the president of the American Recycling, is it association?
No, I'm the president of the Arizona chapter of Solid Waste Association of North America.
And you know I wouldn't remember that. That's long. Solid Waste.
SWANA.
Of SWANA, and you just had a really successful event in the fall, and kudos for that. Anything that puts a good spotlight on Tucson, I like to shout out here because I'm really happy to be part of this community. That makes me feel a lot better about recycling. And I think it's interesting, the green teams that I have, when we talk about doing offsites, that's one of the top picks. And you know we've gone to the MRF. With the Chapman Green Team, and we're going to go with the Hotel Congress Green Team. It's set up for next week. I think it's interesting how people are obsessed with what really happens to recycling.
We have a tour this Thursday. I do tours of the landfill and the recycling facility twice a year, and we've got a full bus.
But we have to remember, this show won't air till December 5th, so it'll be full. But that's fine. I mean, just know there'll be another one coming up.
Valentine's Day.
So there, that's very soon. That's like 2 months away from when the show will be aired. So that's a good one to know. Is there anything else we didn't cover? We threw a lot of things in there that weren't on the menu.
I think just a very quick, what can you recycle over the holidays? You know, think
yes.
about those tin cans and the aluminum pans. If you roast a turkey or something else in them, just make sure they're clean.
Right.
If they have grease in them or the carcass, then that's not good. Wrapping paper, if it doesn't have any kind of metallic or glitter finish.
Great.
So think about when you go to buy your wrapping paper, look for something that's just plain paper. No plastic bags, no ribbons.
And
those No tissue paper. But cardboard is a great thing.
And I'm so glad you remembered that. We're so close to the holidays because this will be aired on December 5th. And I am shocked at the number of gifts I got last year that were wrapped in cloth, that were wrapped in newspaper, that were wrapped in bags that I had seen before in my family, you know, put in bags that I had seen before. So it's another great opportunity to remember the first R is reduce. And I was reading somebody's blog the other day about somebody famous, you know, with lots of, you know, probably 10 million followers, saying that they're giving gifts of services. They're giving gift certificates to locally owned restaurants. They're giving gifts for massages.
Experiences.
And that, to me, is a really good idea. We've gotten to that in our family. And then all of a sudden, it's February, and everybody's going on something that we all decided for the holidays.
And I think that those are the kinds of things that most of us don't want to buy for ourselves.
Right. It's exactly right.
So it's
something
great
that
when
spoils
something,
us.
Yes.
And I'm just putting out there, massages are always at the top of my list, people. If you want to send Mrs. Green a gift, feel free. I take all massages with just open arms and lots of love and appreciation. And this is, I want to repeat before we come to a close, that everything we talked about, including locations And all of those details will be on the show notes of this podcast. So you can just listen to it and click on it, and it'll get you to your website, and the proper information will be there. So now a few last words from me. As someone who cares a whole heck of a lot about my community, its health, and the health of the people who live here, I happen to believe that this is one small thing we can all commit to if we want to make a difference. Recycling our Christmas trees. We go somewhere to buy our trees, so shouldn't it be easy to drop them off once we're finished with them? Even though I admit it's not nearly as much fun. Instead of taking up space in our landfill, we have the opportunity to turn them into chips to be used for mulch in our yards and gardens, and then we get to call it Merry Mulch, for heaven's sake. Let's all do this and make sure we encourage everyone we know to do the same. And I just wouldn't feel right ending this show without a shout out to my friend and colleague sitting right here next to me, Christina Palsgrove. She is my Wikipedia for waste and recycling. I don't know if she likes that moniker, but that's what she is to me. I can't count how many times I've called or emailed her asking her about a recycling question or how a company can start recycling or what's happening with composting, and the list goes on. She pretty much knows it all and doesn't even get annoyed if I've asked her the same question more than once. She is the epitome of a true public servant, and she has my respect and admiration for lots of reasons. I happen to think it's a great time of year to let people who had a positive influence on your life to tell them that, and I just did. Thanks for being a part of my world.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, and thank you for being my friend.
Ditto!